Psalm 127 there, and we're going to look here today with the title of Except the Lord Build the House. Except the Lord Build the House here, and you'll see that here in just a moment if you're there in Psalm 127. Psalm 127 here, verse number 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. And it is a blessing to hear the little cries of the children, right? Children are a blessing. You know, the Bible even says right here in our text here, you know, that children are heritage of the Lord. Amen. But we're going to be looking here in verse number 1 here. Except the Lord build the house. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here together today to hear the truth of your word, Lord. I pray now you fill me with your spirit. Right here, right now, Lord, I pray you give me your words, your clarity of thought, and your direction here. And I pray, Lord, that you do what only you can do, and that's to speak to those here today, Lord. Convict us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Convict us of a need for a Savior, Lord, here today, if somebody here is in need. Lord, I pray you'll have your way with us here today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we celebrate a very special day together here at Gilead Baptist Church, we can reflect on a lot of things that God has done over my first year here today, over the first year as your pastor here today. We've seen God work in many lives here. God has done some amazing things here through Gilead Baptist Church and through the people here. We have seen souls saved. We have seen people baptized, added to the church, and we have seen God change the lives of many people here today. And we have seen people serving and doing things that they'd never done before. All the glory goes to God. Amen. All the glory goes to God. Praise the Lord for that. But now as we look back on many things that God has done here at Gilead Baptist Church, I want to bring to mind something very important here. We must not lose sight of who is building the house. The Lord must build the house there. In verse 1, he says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. No man, no preacher, no deacon, no layman, nobody can build the house except it be done in vain. Now, throughout this year, we can reflect, there's been times of joy. There has been times of excitement. There has been times of sadness as well. There has been times of discouragement. Yes, there has. But I think that no matter what in this earthly flesh that we have, we are all going to be tempted to get down at times. But I want to encourage you today. I want us to remember that God is greater than all of that. We serve a risen Savior. He is on the throne. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's coming back one day. He is greater than what we might look at or what we might see in front of our eyes. He can do the impossible. I'm living proof of it. God can do the impossible. And so as we embark on another year, Lord willing, another year and many more years to come, I can tell you that I'm excited to see what God is going to do in His house, to build His house. I'm excited to see what God is going to do in us and through us as a church, as Gilead Baptist Church here in the Macon area. So today I got three reminders. I want to give you three reminders for the church to not lose sight of. All right. Number one, we don't want to lose sight of the fact that the Lord is the builder of the church. And we see that there in verse one. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Now, the theme in Psalm 127 is to simply trust the Lord. It's simply trusting the Lord in everything and in every circumstance. We got to learn and we got to remember that we need to hope in Him. We are to rest in Him. We are to look for Him. We are to depend on Him. We are to surrender on Him. And the list goes on and on. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Anything that we try to do in our flesh, anything that we try to do on our own, anything that we try to do apart from trusting the Lord completely will all be in vain. So what does that mean? Well, the word vain means futile. It means empty. And it means worthless. All of our efforts of our flesh would be worthless. We need Him. They that are in the flesh cannot please the Lord. We need Him. The Lord must build. The Lord must protect. The Lord must give. The Lord must add. Otherwise, we do it all in vain. It is worthless. Now, there's another interesting word there, the word except there. The very first word, except, is a conditional clause. It means if God is not building it, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters, church. It doesn't matter how hard of a worker you are or we are or how smart we are or how much we do or even how sincere we are. We must understand we are not the architects. God is. We are not the builders. We are the laborers. In Proverbs 16:9, the Bible says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." The Lord directeth his steps. In John 15:5, Jesus says, "For without me, ye can do nothing." We need to remember that simple fact that it is the Lord that is building the church. We need Him. Now, if you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 7. And as you're turning there, we know that Jesus told a story about two men who built houses. One built his house on a rock and the other built his house on sand, and you know what happened when the storm came? The house built on sand collapsed. But the house built on the foundation of rock stood strong. Look here in Matthew chapter 7, and starting in verse number 24. Matthew 7:24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man." Hey, you want to be wise? Listen up. Listen up. He's got some wisdom here. He says, "which built his house upon a rock." Verse 25, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man." You want to be a foolish man? Don't listen to the words of Jesus Christ. It says right here, "which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great," you see that? "And great was the fall of it." You see, here's the reality. We all build our lives on something. We build our lives on something. We want to build the church on something, whether it's a set of principles or whether it's priorities or whether it's thoughts or goals, whatever it is. But the only foundation that will stand is the rock. It is God. It is His Word. It's kind of like that hymn goes in all other ground is sinking sand. You know it, right? Psalm 11:3. "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Hey, we may plan, we may labor, we may invest, but unless it's in the Lord, unless the Lord is the one building it, it's all in vain. It's all in vain. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus tells us He is that rock. He says there in Matthew 16:18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You see, this isn't my church. This isn't your church. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. He is the rock. He is the builder. He is the one that died on the cross and shed His blood for the church. He purchased the church with His own blood. In 1 Timothy 3:15, He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The church is supposed to be the truth. The truth comes from God's Word. Okay, that's where we get truth. Not from TikTok and not from Snapchat and not from Twitter and not from ESPN and not from Fox News and whatever else is out there. The Word of God is the only truth. The Bible says, "Thy Word is truth." Every single bit of it is truth. You want to know what truth? You want to know how to live your life based on the truth? Live it by the Word of God. If you don't live your life by the Word of God, you're not living it by the truth. It doesn't matter how many followers you have on TikTok, my friend. That does not matter. The only truth is right here in God's Word. In 1 Timothy 6:14, the Bible says that thou keep this commandment without spot. The church belongs to Him. We are simply the laborers. He is the builder. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. God is the builder of all things in the church. We need to remember that. From the very beginning of creation, if we start back in the Bible and we go all the way back to Genesis 1:1, the very first book in the Bible, the very first verse in the Bible, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In John chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says about Jesus, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." The heavens, the earth, everything in it, you and I, were created, were made by the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't evolve from something. There was no big bang and explosion and millions and millions and millions of eons came about and we became. That's not the case. God created male, He created female, two genders, that's it. But you see here, everything in this world, everything in creation bears the reality of the fact that God is the Creator. All you got to do is look out the window and somebody had to have created that. All you got to do is look in the mirror and say, God, somebody had to create a man and a woman, right? But when God builds something, the point is, when God builds something, He does it with eternity in mind. We don't quite understand eternity in mind. Our human concept is all temporary. Everything in our mind is all temporary. We want to live for the here, for the now, and we don't understand God's eternal plan. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, God's ways and God's thinking, it's going to be different than ours. The Bible tells us. But now I want you to turn over to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40 gives us a great example about the presence of God. If you remember the tabernacle, right? The building of the tabernacle here in Exodus chapter number 40. Look here starting in verse number 33. Talking about the tabernacle, talking about the glory of God, talking about the presence of God. You see, as a church, we need the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the church. Since it's His church, He needs to be right in the midst of it. Here in Exodus chapter 40, look here starting in verse 33. He says, "And He reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. And so Moses finished the work." So the work is finished. Verse 34, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Amen. "And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in their journey. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night." in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journey. Every command, every direction, every measurement was given by God, and Moses finished up the work there of the tabernacle. And when Moses finished that work there, the Lord commanded, the cloud covered the tabernacle. You get that? The presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. But it wasn't complete until God moved in. Moses did the work, but it wasn't complete until God moved in. Except the Lord built the house. And the people would move based on that, on the glory of the Lord. When the cloud moved, the people would move. But it wasn't complete until the glory of God was there. All that work that Moses did and the people did to build that tabernacle would have all been in vain if the Lord did not move in. The presence of God. Just like our church today, just like the church. We're not alive. A church is not alive because of the agendas that it does, or because of the amount of people that it has, or the amount of programs, or anything like that. The church is only alive when the Spirit fills the sanctuary, when the glory of the Lord shines upon it. In Revelation 21, verse 3, the Bible says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." The key to success, the key to being a church that Jesus talks about, it's not based on numbers and money. It's all based on the presence of God. In Psalm chapter 90, in verse 17, the Bible says, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it." Now, as we celebrate another year together, we must commit to let God lead everything that goes on at Gilead Baptist Church. To lead every ministry, the bus ministry, the singing ministry, the soul winning ministry, the preaching. Everything that goes on here belongs to Him. And here's the thing. When the Lord builds it, no man can tear it down. No devil can defeat it. No storm can tear it down. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me just say, the Lord is the builder of the church. Number two, I want you to see that the time to build is now. The time to build is now. If you turn over to Romans chapter number 13, the time is now. Time is short. Time is running out. Time is of the essence. You're not guaranteed another second, another moment, another minute, another hour, another day. The time to build is now. Jesus is the builder, and the time to build is now. In Romans chapter 13, look at verses 11 and 12. Get this here. It says, "And that knowing the time." Right, we like to look out and watch the news and look out the window. What time is it? Is it spring? Is it summer? Is it fall? Is it time to go catch the crappie? What time is it, right? He says, "And that knowing the time," you got to know the time. He says that now it is high time. The time is of essence. It's high time. Time is running out. It is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Gilead Baptist Church, here is your wake-up call. Here is our wake-up call right here. He says, now it is high time. It's high time to build. Now, as we reflect on the past year, yes, great things have happened. God has done memorable things, and we remember those things. But I want you to grasp this together. We are 1 year closer to eternity. We are 1 year closer than we were a year ago. We are closer to the return of Jesus Christ than we have ever been before. I'm telling you, the hour is late. The hour is near. The warning is there. The time to build is now. We must build with urgency. We are closer than we've ever been before. You need to get a hold of that. 1 Peter 4:7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand." It's right here. The end of all things is at hand. "Be ye therefore sober and watch on the prayer." But I'm telling you, I'm trying to send you the wake-up call from the Lord today. Too many Christians are sleeping on the job. Too many Christians are sleeping in the pew. Too many Christians are sleeping in the world. They're living their lives however they please and doing whatever they want without any thought of a reality of eternity, of any thought of one day standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe I should start thinking about living for Him. If I'm saved, I should start thinking about how I should please Him. If I'm not saved, hey, the time is of the essence. The time is now. I need to get saved. I believe that the devil has used COVID in a lot of things. I mean, we're 5 years out of COVID now, aren't we? 5 years, can you believe it? But yet, you know, the devil used COVID to rock so many Christians to sleep. And they're still sleeping. You say, how do I know? Well, look at all the churches that's closed since COVID. All the churches that never woke up after COVID. Look at all the churches that like to do live streaming. Look at all the churches that cancel services. Look at all the churches that aren't meeting. They're just sitting at home, watch it online. Online church is not church. A church is an assembly. Hebrews 10:25. It's right there. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? The return of Jesus Christ. We are 1 year closer today than we were 1 year ago. It's time we wake up. It's time we start committing to be faithful to the assembly. Hey, look, when the Word of God is preached and you're not here, you don't get the message. God expects His people to be present. You miss it when you're not here. And let me tell you, if you weren't here Friday, you missed a blessing. Amen. You missed a blessing. But hey, we need to wake up. Christians, we need to wake up because the time is running out. You know that thing about time? Time is that thing that we never have enough of. We always say, wish we had more time. We never have enough of it, but yet we give it away so easy. Somebody once said this, time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once you lost it, you can't get it back. Let me just tell you, 24 hours in a day, 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds, and every one of them is a precious gift of God. He's given it to us. But we're not guaranteed another second. How are we spending those seconds? How are we spending those minutes? How are we spending those days? Are we sleeping on the job? A sluggard, the Bible talks about a sluggard. Oh, they love to sleep. In Proverbs 6, 9 through 11 says, oh, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. Proverbs 26:14, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. Listen, the time is now to wake up. The time is now to wake up. Eternity is a long time. Eternity is a long time. We just need to wake up and start living for the Lord. Wake up and start living a holy, separated life. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Hey, listen, if you're in the Lord's army, this is just your reasonable service. It's just reasonable service to be faithful. Hey, it's just reasonable service to tithe. Hey, it's just reasonable service. It's just reasonable service to go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. It's just reasonable service. He says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, you want the will of God in your life? Do we want the will of God in your life? It's right there. It's right there in the Word. But today, too many people not willing to stand up, not willing to be committed. Why is it that people are more committed and dedicated to their boss than they are to the Lord Jesus Christ? I think it's time we wake up, don't you? Because one day we're going to stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to stand in front of our boss. Okay? We're going to stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. The time to build is now. People die every day. 150,000 people die every single day, all around the world. Most of those people die without Jesus Christ. Most of those people die and they lift up their eyes being in torment and they can't get out. They're in eternity. They're in hell. And eventually they'll be cast into the lake of fire, separated from heaven, separated from God, separated from Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. And hey, those are dads and moms and sisters and brothers and good people and nice people, but they're people who died without Jesus Christ. In John chapter 4, in verse 35, the Bible says, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already the harvest. Lost souls everywhere. All over Macon, they're everywhere. Hey, we need to go get them. It's high time. We're running out of time. God didn't say that we would reap all of the success. He just said, go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Every Saturday at 10, we meet here and we go and do that. We go and do that great commission. Why? Because there's lost souls all around us. But that's not the only time we go. We are to give the gospel everywhere we go, to everybody we come in contact. Why? Because it's high time. Time is running out. You know, in heaven, there won't be any soul winning. Gilead Baptist Church, we need to build. The time to build is now. We need to get out and reach them souls. In heaven, there won't be soul winning. There won't be any lost people in heaven. In John chapter 9 and verse 24, John 9, 4, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Church, all I'm saying is it's high time. We are 1 year closer today than we were 1 year ago. The time to build is now. Ephesians 5, 14 and 15. He says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. And Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Hey, we need to redeem the time. We're not guaranteed another moment. God has given you life until this point. If you are here today without Jesus Christ, it's because of God's mercy. It's because of God's grace. It's because of God's love that He's brought you here today to hear the truth of the Word of God. But if you leave out of this place today and you do not ever receive Jesus Christ and you die without Jesus Christ, you lift up your eyes being in torment, you will forever be in the lake of fire, in torment, in torment, in torment, and it's high time. Why? Because James 4:14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We're not guaranteed we're going to see 12 o'clock. We're not guaranteed we're going to see this evening. It is high time. The time to build is now. Let me give you the third thing I want you to see here. The time to build is now. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. I want you to see here, thirdly, I want you to see, behold the glory of the coming Savior. I want you to see that. I want you to see the glory of the coming Savior. If you turn over to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, the very last book, the very last chapter of the Bible, the very end of the Bible here, the very last chapter. I want you to look here, Revelation 22. Look there in verse 7. Revelation 22, verse 7. He says here, behold, I come quickly. Talking about Jesus Christ. Listen up. It's high time. The time is now. Behold, I come quickly. Look at verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. Look at verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh, the coming, the glory of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, He could come right now. And Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to be looking for His return. That's one of the great truths in the Bible, is the very fact that Jesus could come back right now. And Paul calls it the blessed hope. Get a grasp of that. The blessed hope. It's not a dead hope. It is not wishful thinking. It is a very fact. It is the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to be looking for Him today. We need to be looking for Him today, right now. The rapture is our hope. It is a promise. We're not to be looking for the Antichrist. Listen, we're to be looking for Jesus Christ. People weren't looking for Jesus Christ the first time that He came, and many missed Him. People aren't looking for Jesus Christ today because they're so preoccupied with the world and the things in the world and their jobs and their money and what they can buy and what they can get and what they can obtain. But go ahead. You know, the Bible warns us about building up our barns, and boom, life is short. Life is short. Jesus Christ is coming back. It could be today. Hey, in Matthew 24:37, He says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17 tell us how the rapture is going to happen. He says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." What does that mean? That means everybody that's been saved, that has passed away, that is in the ground, their body went to the ground, their soul went to be with Jesus Christ. And when the Lord descends from heaven and He shouts, those bodies are coming out of the grave. Oh, what a glorious day. But it gets better. In verse 17, He says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Talking about the rapture that could happen right now. If the Lord descends from heaven, if He shouts with His trump, if today is the day, those dead bodies that have been born again are coming up, and we that are alive right here that are saved are going up to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. But there's a scary thing to that. Oh, it's a glorious day if you're saved, but if you're not saved, you'll be left here behind. You'll be left here behind. And that will not be a good thing. The world, as a Christian, the world is not our home. We're just passing through. We are looking for something greater. And when He comes, He's not coming for all those pretty buildings. He's not coming for all of those programs, all about those kids' programs. He's not coming for religion. He's coming for those that's been born again. In 1 John 3:2, He says, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is." You see, if that happens, when that happens, we'll see Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll see the One that died for us. Hey, this world is wicked, but I'm telling you, the day is dawning. The day is near. We are at that point. In Romans 13:12, the Bible says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand." It's high time. The day is here. It's time to build. The trumpet is about to sound. The glory of the Lord is about to break through the clouds. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, I can't wait. Even so, come, Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't say it's any man. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. It is Jesus Christ, the One who bled and shed His blood for me and for you. And He died on that cross, and He rose again the third day, and He ascended into heaven. He is the One that's returning. He is the One that's taking us to heaven. He is the One that's taking us to glory. And the thing of it is it's always been imminent. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:51-52, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be saved." We shall be changed in the moment, that quick. It's going to happen. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you know for sure 100% you would be raptured out of here if it happened today? Hey, do you know for sure 100% you'd go to heaven when you die? Jesus already paid that penalty. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Isaiah 53:5, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed." You see, He didn't die for His sins. He had no sin. He died for your sin. He died for my sin. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. What everybody's earned, what you've earned, is death. God doesn't owe us another moment. He doesn't owe us anything. What we've earned because of our sin is death and eternal torment in hell. But the end of that verse is great. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He wants to give you a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a free gift. The Bible says there in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus came, He died on the cross, He was buried, He rose again the third day. And if you put your faith and trust in Him and what He did for you, the blood of Jesus Christ covers it all. It covers it all. He died for all. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, He died for all. And the Bible says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You say, preacher, what does that look like? Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 explains it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that You're God. I believe that You died for me. I believe You rose from the dead. Hey, I put my trust and faith in You. Lord, save me. Take me to heaven when I die. But it's no magical words. The Bible just says the words or the belief is in the heart. It's a heart belief. You got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Hey, look, are you ready? Church, are we ready? We're a year down the road. Are we looking? There in Revelation 22:20, it says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. It could be today. It could happen today. We are looking for it to happen right now. But church, as we continue on, and we look down the road, and we look into another year together here at Gilead Baptist Church, we need to remember some things. We need to remember that the Lord is the builder of the church. We are just the workers. We are the laborers. We go out and do the work, but He's going to build it. But I'm telling you, too, that the time to build it is now. There is an urgency to us going and doing our part. Why? Because the coming Savior, the coming of the glory of God, Jesus Christ is coming back. It could be today. If He doesn't come back, there's still the fact that we're not guaranteed another tomorrow. Our hearts stop beating. We go off into eternity. So let me ask you here today. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure you're going to heaven. You say, preacher, I don't know. Well, the Bible says in 1 John 5:13 that you can know you have eternal life. He wants you to know. He gave us the Word of God so we can know we have eternal life. And it's only through Jesus Christ. Hey, you're here today and you said, I know I'm going to heaven. I've been saved. I've been born again. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. So let me ask you this. Are you living for Him? Are you living in light of the fact that Jesus could come back this very moment? This very next moment, we could be standing in front of the One who died for us, giving an account of our life. What would that look like? Maybe somebody here today needs to come up to the old altar here and just commit some things in your life to the Lord. We just need to lay some things at the feet of Jesus Christ and just give it to Him. Why? The Lord is the builder. The time to build is now because Jesus is coming back and we can be standing in glory. Amen. Let's pray.